Today, as we come to the table,
there are great rewards for fearing God. Notice, because of their love and protection for the nation of Israel, God blessed them richly and gave them families and homes. And again, even as they were helping create families and homes for the Jewish people, God gave them a family and a home. The Bible says, if you water, you'll be watered. I love that. And again, there's a lesson in this for us, because what does it say in Genesis 12:3? I will bless those who bless Israel. And I'm inserting Israel. God is speaking to Abraham. So we understand that I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And the context was Abraham and his descendants and or the nation of Israel. So what God is saying is, if you bless Israel, I'm going to bless you. I like that, because there's a guaranteed blessing there.
The midwives of Egypt had been given a specific and deadly order at the time of Moses' birth. They had to kill all of the baby boys born to Israelite women. This nation of people, God's chosen people, were under attack by the enemy, and the midwives had to make a choice to either side with God or side with their leader. Thankfully, they chose to honor the Lord. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark will share today, God blessed these women greatly for their service to Him. And even now, God blesses those who stand with His chosen people. Israel may not be the perfect nation, but they are still God's, and He still chooses them. Now, turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 1 as Pastor Mark continues his message, Satan's attempted annihilation of Israel.
The nurses in the hospital would kind of be what we think of as the midwife, and the doctor being the one to come in to deliver. And then you've got some of these clinics where they have the whole process where they do it in the clinic and not in the hospital. So we have something similar to it today. But he tells them, when you go do this, kill the male child. Like, what a horrific thing. I mean, I don't care how much you don't like somebody or a people group, that would be a hard thing to do. I think even as an unbeliever, if I was an unbeliever and I didn't like the Jewish people, somebody said, they have a boy, kill him. Again, I live in this day and age, right? But I couldn't do that. How do you just kill a baby? You got to commend them for making a stand, because again, Pharaoh could have killed them because they didn't do it. Because notice, they don't do it in verse 17, but I love this, but the midwives feared God. I have that underlined. What a great verse, guys. Note this. Here's the bottom line. No matter what the world tells you to do, you've got to do what God tells you to do. Why? Because you need to fear God more than man. I love Peter and John when they're standing in front of the Sanhedrin. What do they say? You can't preach anymore in this name of Jesus. You got to stop. You can't preach the gospel. You can't teach that part of the Bible. You can make all kinds of applications to today. And what do they say? Look, whether it's right to obey God or man, you decide. I have to obey God. I can't do this. I've got to do what's right. And that oftentimes puts us in a very awkward place, doesn't it? You ever been in an awkward position with family or friends that are wanting you to do something that you say, I can't do that. I've got to do what God's word says. And you know what happens? Oh, Mr. Holy Roller, you're Mr. Righteous, and ooh, you're better than us. You think you're something, don't you? And the reality is, it's because we know we're nothing that we're obeying. And how they miss it. You think you're holier than thou, No, as a matter of fact, it's the opposite. I realize my sinfulness, and I know it's by God's grace that I've been saved. And because of that, I have to obey Him. And these midwives, they feared God. And they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children alive. Look at God's planning on this and God's timing. I love it. God put two women in charge of all the midwives. And that's probably what this was. Shiphrah and Puah were probably over a whole host of midwives. And He puts these two women over all these midwives in Egypt, and they both fear God. So who is it now that is giving the directive to all the others down the line? They are. And they're saying, we're not going to do this. Now, I don't know whether or not they just told the other midwives, don't do this. Or I don't know if they told the other midwives, just show up late. Whatever the case is going to be. Because He says that, they're more lively, we'll see in just a moment. Which means, they're having babies faster than the Egyptian women. So we can't get there on time and all this kind of stuff. But just to see God's positioning. Guys, note this. This was an ungodly nation. And God put some godly people in a very strategic position. That's encouraging to me for our nation. Not that we're totally ungodly. There's a lot of godly people in America. But there's also a lot of godly people in American government. And sometimes you don't even know they're there and you don't know where they are. I love, there's this one guy, you guys may have heard me talk about Bill Koenig. He's a great website, World Watch Daily. He gives a lot of updates prophetically and this kind of stuff. He's in the White House press room, and they're giving the press secretary's coming out, and he gives all the things daily. They talk about what's going on in America and the White House and all that. He's one of the reporters in the room. Strong believer. He has written books about how we need to be as believers, about how we need to be as a nation, about being faithful to the nation of Israel. And he's given these books because he's close to them. He sees these leaders, I mean, including the president on down. He has given these books to these leaders. They have the books in their hands talking about, you know, what we need to do as a nation to be blessed by the Lord and how to be faithful and all that. And he's done this for, you know, more than one administration. Don't think that God doesn't have his people in place. He does. I wish he had more people in place, but he's God. He knows what he's doing. But God has his people in place. Here they are. They're in the position to make that call, and they're not going to do it. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing? And saved the male children alive." Now, no doubt they had thought about what their answer was going to be, but can you imagine your heart rate at that moment? And this could be their head. This is like life or death here. And basically he says, "What are you doing? Why haven't you obeyed my command?" Does the Bible tell us to come under the governing authorities? Absolutely. And it works from the top all the way down. Are we to come under the leadership of our president? Absolutely. What about our Congress and Senate? Absolutely. What about the state-to-state Congress and Senates? What about the governors and the mayors? What about everyone? It doesn't say whether they're godly or not. If you have an ungodly politician or governor or mayor, it doesn't say only the godly ones, you know, you need to follow their directive. No, the godly ones, I mean, the ungodly ones as well. It's across the board. God has designed it that way. And it goes all the way down through the structure of our society, teachers in school, parents at home, the whole authority structure is in place. It's God's design. But is there ever a time we disobey those authorities? Now, you know, there's probably some kids that would say yes every time, but that's not what I'm talking about. Is there ever a time that we who are truly walking with the Lord disobey our authorities? Absolutely. Absolutely. When is that time? Whenever they tell us to go against the word of God. That's the only time we're ever mandated to say, "I'm sorry, I can't do that." And it doesn't mean we get ugly. It doesn't mean we have to yell at them and make a scene of the fact we're not going to do it. I look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here they are standing before Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, "You will bow down to this false god. And if you don't bow down to this false god, it's into the fiery furnace," right? And what did they say? You know, they didn't start into him, you know, "You, whatever, you know." They just said, "Hey, we can't do that. Our God makes it very clear who we can bow down to. It's only him. We can't do that." And of course, Nebuchadnezzar gets all mad and throws him into the fire. And you guys know the whole story, but the bottom line is there are times when we cannot and must not obey the government authorities, but it doesn't mean that we are necessarily ugly about it or, defiant in some physical way. We just make a stand for God. And so I love these women because that's what they're doing. They're obeying God and saying, "You know what? We fear God more than we fear man. Maybe we're going to die from this. And if we die, we die." Again, remember Esther, "If I perish, I perish." She knew that if she went in before the king there in Persia, you know, they had a rule that said you had to be invited in that day. And the king could kill anybody at any moment. If you went in before the king uninvited, even if he knew you, even if it was his princess, you know, his bride, the queen, if she didn't ask permission and he didn't like the fact that she just walked in and disturbed the meeting or disturbed him, he could have her killed right there. She had a choice to make. And what was her choice? "Well, I either obey God, because I realize there are lives to be saved here. The nation of Israel is about to be exterminated. I either obey God or I basically, you know, try to save my own life." And she knew that she needed to obey God. She did a very hard thing. And so, you know, God sometimes calls us to hard things, guys. It's okay. There's nothing wrong in being called to a hard thing. And I think that the real test for us as a believer is when God does call us to hard things. Let me give you a little encouragement here and maybe a way to handle things. If you ever find yourself in a situation with a family member or a child, or maybe it's an older child, you know, that maybe is now of age and they're still living at home, or maybe it's a family member at Thanksgiving or Christmas, or maybe it's even a dear friend or whatever the case might be, somebody you've known. If you ever find yourself in a situation where maybe it's in your home and they're wanting to do something that's dishonoring to God, and you've made a pledge, you said, "It's for me and my house, what? We're going to serve the Lord." And they show up, and maybe they've got their girlfriend with them, right? I'll give you an example, something to use. Make one up. And they've been staying with their girlfriend in all the hotels the whole trip up to that point. And they were wondering which room they're going to be staying in while they're staying with you for the next few days. Well, they're not going to. Because as for me and my house, what? Yeah, we can't just let sin knowingly happen under our roof and say, well, God, you know, I don't want to offend them and, you know, whatever. Listen, you're not going to reach them by going along with their sin. Everybody with me on that? Now, you need to do it in love. Just, you know, hey, can we talk? Sure. Look, you guys, I understand where you're coming from, and I know you don't believe the same way I do, but here's what I encourage you to do. Don't make it an issue between you and that person, because that's hard, isn't it? Make it an issue between you and your God. I've dealt with things like this throughout my life in different settings. And it's just, the conversation goes like this. Look, I love you very much, and you can choose to do whatever you want. No, nobody forces you to do anything. But I have an agreement with my God. And I've promised my God that my house will be used for only things that are godly. And what the Bible says is godly. So I have another arrangement lined up. And then whatever the arrangement is, you tell them. And if they are okay with that, maybe they're shocked at first, they're fine, they go on. Some people will respect that and they'll say, okay. But if they don't, then often, you know, they may move on. It may be an awkward, tense moment. But if you make it between you and them, look, I just think that's wrong, and that's not going to happen in my house, you know. Well, now you have an unnecessary, ugly fight that doesn't reach them for Christ, and all it does is cause more tension to anything down the road, right? But if you say, you know what, I love you very much, but I love my God more. And His Word says that my house is to be given to Him, so this has nothing to do with you. Please don't take this personally. This is between my God and I. I've made a promise to Him. I'm in a covenant to Him, and I just can't break that promise. And you're very important, and I love you very much, but I can't put you over God. You follow? And hopefully there'll be a reasoning to that. They'll understand. And if there's not, yeah, it's you know, it can be tough. But I would much rather do that and know that I honored God than to just give in and go along with something that I know is not honored, that's under my control. And that's not under, if it's not under our control, then that's all right. Just make it an issue between you and your God. They made it an issue between them and their God. They said, God, we know we're going to stand before Pharaoh, and maybe Pharaoh's going to kill us, but we've got to do this because we fear you, Lord. We fear you more than the Pharaoh, which means we fear, you know, you more than even getting, you know, put to death. What did Jesus say? Don't fear those that can kill the body, you know, and they can't do anything to your soul. He said, here's who you need to fear. Fear Him who can throw your body and soul into everlasting fire. That's who you're to fear. And that's where our allegiance has to be. Well, these girls had it. These ladies, I mean, they were there. They feared God. The king said to them, why haven't you done it? And I love this. Notice verse 19, the midwives said to Pharaoh, well, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. For they're lively and they give birth before the midwives come to them. Not exactly honest here, huh? You know, this is what I would call a biblical dilemma, but it doesn't have to be. You know, it's interesting here. They lie, which technically is a sin against God. It's one of the things that God hates the most, but we're going to see that God still blesses them. Now, God doesn't bless them for the lies. Everybody follow me on that? But God blesses them because they saved innocent lives. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that it's okay to lie, but I do find it interesting that when it comes to saving lives in times of war and great evil, God blesses those who protect the innocent. What's another example I can give you? Remember Rahab, the harlot. And the two spies of Israel came in and she hid them on the roof. Now, if Rahab had told the truth, what would have happened to those men? They'd have been killed. If the midwives had told the truth here, what would have happened to them and all the children? They would have been killed. In the days of Hitler in World War II, I remember after we had gone on a mission trip, stopped by Amsterdam to visit a missionary that was in Amsterdam, and my pastor sent me there and said, go by and encourage him and spend some time with him and minister to him before you come back to the States. And so did that. Well, Amsterdam is where a lot of the stuff happened. You know, Anne Frank, and you have, I believe she was in Amsterdam as well, but I know Corrie ten Boom was there in Amsterdam. And they hid Jews. They hid them and protected them from dying. And the authorities would come and say, are there Jews in here? Now, you could get technical and say, I have to tell the truth because I can't sin against God. Yes, and they're out there in that room. They go kill them all. They didn't. They said, no, there's none. I'm not going to try to justify a lie, but I think when it comes to innocent life and times of war and great evil, God is a lot more gracious than we think. Is everybody with me? Very interesting, kind of a biblical dilemma. So I'm not going to give you a final answer on it, but I think that whenever we can save a life, now a lot of you might think this is not an excuse to say, good, I can lie and here's my biblical reason. No, and I'm not even saying there is a biblical reason to lie. It doesn't say that God liked their lie. Some have even suggested maybe they didn't lie. Maybe what they did was is they told the midwife to show up late so they could tell Pharaoh, oh, they have the baby before we can get there. Well, is that true? Yeah, it's true. It's not really even a lie. So, I don't know. Biblical dilemma, but very interesting. You know, I'll bring up a point. The needs of man in Scripture override the letter of the law. You know, anyway, just very interesting. Enough said on that. Just very interesting subject, and I think it's the kind of thing where if we ever found ourselves in that situation, God would give us wisdom. What do you think? He would give us wisdom. And He gave them wisdom, and He spared these little babies, these precious little guys. I love it. Now notice what happens. Therefore, verse 20, God dealt well with the midwives. It doesn't mean, again, let me make it clear, it doesn't mean God blessed them because they lied. We know that. But because they feared God and they protected God's people and made a stand for God's people and a stand with God's people, what did God do? He blessed them. By the way, what should we do in knowing that? Stand with God's people. Standing with the nation of Israel. Notice, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied, and they grew mightily. And so it was because the midwives feared God that He provided households for them. I love this. There are great rewards for fearing God. Notice, because of their love and protection for the nation of Israel, God blessed them richly and gave them families and homes. And again, even as they were helping create families and homes for the Jewish people, God gave them a family and a home. The Bible says, if you water, you'll be watered. I love that. And again, there's a lesson in this for us, because what does it say in Genesis 12:3? I will bless those who bless Israel. Now I'm inserting Israel. God is speaking to Abraham. So we understand that I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And the context was Abraham and his descendants and or the nation of Israel. So what God is saying is, if you bless Israel, I'm going to bless you. I like that, because there's a guaranteed blessing there. If we bless Israel, we stand with them. And if we're actively with the Jews, again, there's a lot of people that say that God's done with them. Wrong. Notice now this satanic plot here thickens as Pharaoh commands not just the midwives, but everybody to kill the male children. Look at verse 22. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, everybody. So the midwives aren't getting the job done. You know, incompetent midwives. Godly midwives. Every son who is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So kill all the boys. We can handle the women. We'll make slaves out of them. They couldn't possibly even marry Egyptians. But kill all the boys, because we want to wipe these guys out. And so very interesting here is this turns up the heat, shows his ultimate goal is to wipe them out. And the ultimate goal of Satan is to wipe out the Jews as well as believers in general. Not just one or two, but all of them if possible. And this is what he does here in this whole process, trying to wipe them out. Now, one of the main things, guys, I want us to grasp as we finish is that the hatred of the Jews is historical and satanically inspired. Understand that. This is a supernatural thing. You look, you know, why does everybody hate the Jews so much? Why is everybody so against them having a nation that's only the size of New Jersey? All right, we're starting with New Jersey, right? Can you imagine going to New Jersey tonight and saying, you have too much land and territory for the rest of the United States? You need to back it up some toward the water. What do you think they'd say? What do you mean territory? I mean, if I back up any, I'll be in the water. Well, yeah, that's the point. That's what they're doing to the nation of Israel. Let me ask you, is that logical? Does anybody see logic in what's going on right now in the world? There's no logic. And understand, when it comes to the spiritual battle, is there logic? No, but there's understanding that it's satanic. He wants to wipe them out. And sadly, throughout history, we've seen portions of the church turn on the Jews in Israel. Guys, did you know there's a huge portion of the church who's against Israel today? Did you know that? Now, I use the word church lightly, but there's a huge portion of the church that is anti-Israel. There are whole denominations right now that are boycotting the nation of Israel because they're so evil. I'm going, what evil? I mean, I read the papers. I've been there 8 times. I've got friends that live there. I don't see the evil you're talking about. Not any worse than what we're doing here. They're not trying to wipe anybody out. They're not. How many times do you see the Jews blowing up the Palestinians? Anybody hear of that? Kind of like almost zero? You know, maybe you have one Fruit Loop every so many 20 years or whatever, like we do among Christians. You'll have a Christian every so often try to blow up an abortion clinic, and what happens? All Christians are radical. Watch out for them. You know, right? Guys, listen, there are Fruit Loops in every people group. Everybody with me on that? They're everywhere. And it's amazing to me to see this, even the church, and it's sadder, you know, when you see how clear it is in God's word that God says he's blessed them and promised them. And the Jews may not be godly today, and they're not faithful to God, and they're dealing with the Lord. However, God promised that he was going to bless the nation. He promised he would bring them back in the last days, and he promised he would save a big portion of the nation in the last days. So they have a promise to them, and so the promise still stands today. You know, those who try to say that God has rejected the nation of Israel because he rejected the Messiah, again, Paul addresses that in Romans 9, 10, 11. He says, nonsense. Romans 11, 29, listen to this verse. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. He says, I've called you guys. I'm not going to back up on that. Some of you will come to Christ, some of you won't, but it means it's set in stone, it can't change, and that includes the promises of Israel. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah 31, actually a couple of verses, Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37. Listen to what God says about the nation of Israel. Thus says the Lord who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. Listen, I'm the God of all, he's saying. The Lord of hosts is his name. That is the Lord of battle. That's what that means when it says the Lord of hosts. He says, if those ordinances, now if what ordinances? The sun, the moon, and the stars. Now note this. He says, I've made a promise to the nation of Israel. If the sun and the moon and the stars depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Anybody see the sun today? Pretty hot, wasn't it? The moon was beautiful last night. The stars will be beautiful if it's clear tonight. I think those ordinances are still in place. What do you guys think? He goes on and says, thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, which they're changing it all the time, it can't be, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, we've never gotten to the center of the earth. If that happens, I will cast off the seed of Israel for all they've done, says the Lord. And when I last checked, none of that had happened. God is faithful to the nation of Israel. But guys, what do we do with this information? Here's what we do. Pray for them. God says, pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for them. Lift them up before the Lord. Ask God to have mercy on them and support them. Stand with them. Don't be afraid to let it be known you stand with the nation of Israel. And you stand with the Jews. Again, it doesn't mean they're righteous. It doesn't mean they're doing everything right. It doesn't mean they don't have their problems, and sometimes they haven't dealt maybe in a wrong way with certain elements of their neighbors around them. That's not the argument at all. It's not the issue. The issue is God made a promise to them. God is God. He can do that. God says, honor my promises. Honor the nation of Israel. Those are our future brothers and sisters in the Lord. So love them. And so we love them, and we pray for them. And so I encourage you to put that on your agenda. If you have a regular prayer time, pick one of your days that you pray different things. If you do that kind of prayer thing, pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for God to open their eyes. Now, again, they're going to have their eyes open at some point. And God's turning the heat up right now, isn't he? Remember how God opens eyes? He turns the heat up. He's doing that to the nation of Israel now. But let's pray for them, future brothers and sisters in the Lord, and ask for God's blessing on them, because that's what God does. Again, next we'll look at Moses being born and the deliverer now that God is going to use to deliver the nation.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that he's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally, related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.